I'm Aaron Winiwski. I'm the pastor here, and a lot of us have been watching on the news what's been going on the last few weeks in Texas, in the Caribbean, in Florida, and we're seeing these images of entire neighborhoods underwater. We're hearing a lot about the struggles that people are going through, and we're praying for them. We're part of a network of churches called Converge, and we've got churches in those areas that I've gotten an update from the president of Converge about how those churches are being affected, and how churches are coming together to respond. And we've got someone at New Day who has been called to respond. Would you come on, come on, come on? I want to give Mary Jean, I want to give you a chance to tell us more about what that means, about what you're doing, and give us an opportunity to pray for you and come alongside you however we can. So, Mary Jean, why don't you tell us the story? Yep. Okay. Yep.
Maybe. Luckily, down there might not be power where I go.
There. Yeah. Yeah. You won't have these challenges when there's no electricity. That's awesome, Pollyanna.
Right.
Mary Jean, so what's where are you going? What are you doing? What in the world is going on in your life?
All right. Well, actually, I wish I knew a little bit more, but what is I'm being called to do, and I just have to, they're really up in the air with everything, but there was a thing on LinkedIn that said FEMA engineers needed. And so I had made contact with somebody, and they are in great need for all kinds of professionals, civil engineers, electricians, everything. And there is a company that is called upon to answer those, and that's who I'm talking to. And so I have been asked if I could leave in 2 weeks, so I could possibly leave as soon as September 26th. And I would have to make a 90-day commitment, and 60 days is when I would have to go down there and not even be able to come back and see my family. But it is to go down and do civil engineering. Right now, the proposal that they asked me to be on is for Irma, so it's for Florida. And God has just, I've just got to take it back to obedience. And even in here many years ago, and God's been leading me, and all these doors are flying open. And I just listened to something recently by John Maxwell, and it says, well, when God opens doors, you don't need a cry bar, and that's how this has been. And so my biggest worry in all this, number one, I had to call my husband because they're asking me on the phone to do this, and I had only mentioned it to him by saying, hey, there was this article talking about needing FEMA engineers, so I needed to call him, reach him, and see if I could do this. We had a family meeting, and the one other thing I was really worried about was our youth group. And our youth group, you guys know that Pastor Casey is going to go on and open a church and everything else, and so I'm like, boy, I felt really bad to possibly leave our youth group because I'm a youth leader in there, and our kids need us. And so it was funny. I went to a speaking event that night. This is the same day all this was going on, and I'm asking my friend Cindy Newman to pray with me about how someone could step in. And there's two other people at the table, and I knew they looked familiar. And so I'm telling her about it, and all of a sudden, they're like, well, I'm Sue, and this is my husband, Aaron, and we go to Bethany, and we used to be involved, she said she had been involved in youth group. She's like, Mary Jean, if that's what God's calling you to do, then I am going to step up and take your place. Just tell Pastor wow. Casey. I mean, all these doors are opening, and wow. It's been amazing, and I didn't realize they had been asking her to rejoin youth group for so long, and it's just been amazing. But I do not know specifics. I am to leave within 7 days of them asking me to join, and they're waiting for RFPs to come back from FEMA. But they had asked me if my resume could be put on one of the large ones for Irma. So
okay, a couple questions, Mary right. Jean. That's an awesome story, and I know you're just like you're open to how God is leading. Okay, what's an RFP?
Oh, I'm sorry. A request for proposal. So when that comes in, they'll be able to tell me where to go. And I was talking to one of the gentlemen, and I said, well, I'm like, should I be packing for like a tent-like facility? And he got all worried. He's like, oh no, you saw the pictures, and you can be in a hotel if you go to Houston. And I'm like, well, I guess I thought I was going to the middle of devastation, so I really thought it would be like, I would be hoping maybe for a tent, you know, and I'd be happy for that. And so I told him that I would go wherever, but the problem is, I guess right now they're having a lot of people put a lot of stipulations on things. And so one of the prayers would be that people humble their hearts and just go where God leads them, even if it means you're in a tent side by side each other, and you just need to do what you need to do.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, civil engineering, for those of us who don't, we're not engineering minded, what, just an example, like I know you don't know specifically, but what are some of the possibilities that might involve civil engineering in a situation like is going on where in the Irma devastation?
So I'll be going out, and actually I'll be doing evaluations. So I'll go take a look at roads. I'll take a look at, say, schools, anything public, city halls, that type of things, where I'm going to be taking a look at what happened, the devastation, and then coming back or with the team that I'm with, putting cost estimates together to be able to get money then to the states from the emergency response. Okay. So I should be right in the middle of everything.
Okay.
So, you know, and the other thing, I do hope to partner with a church down there so that then we could find out their needs, and maybe the church here can work with them, and like we could see what they need and hopefully somehow or another fill those needs, or just even be able to pray with them. And
yeah, yeah. I actually, when we met with our backyard missions team, 6 weeks ago or something, I was trying to imagine with them what could God be doing in how He's growing us in backyard missions. And I said, what if He were to develop us into a people where when disaster hits, we hit the road, you know? Where we're mobilized, where we're ready for that kind of thing. And maybe that's what God is doing here. You know, maybe you are, like you said, maybe you're a first person to go, and that ties us into opportunities to serve in deeper ways. I was thinking about you as we were singing these songs. Yes, yeah, you too. You've called me higher. You've called me deeper. You know, I could just stay comfortable. It's almost like God planned that song for you this morning, but it's for all of us, right? It's preparing our hearts. And then I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. We recognize that this would be a huge sacrifice if this works out, a huge sacrifice for your family to say goodbye to you for this amount of time. So we would definitely, you know, keep them in your prayers too, and we would need to be supportive of your family. You have a book here.
I just had, so this is a leader's heart, and this was a prayer that I wrote the other day, and I just wanted to share it with you. And Pastor Aaron's right, you have called me higher, and you've called me deeper. And the only thing I'd say is, just wherever you're at, when you hear the Holy Spirit move you, just start to act. Because there was a day when I was asking for God to, you know, use me in a way like this, but He had pulled on my heart to just pay for the person behind me, and I didn't.
Like in a drive-thru,
yeah. And I didn't even realize we were having that kind of mission here. And ever since that, when I drove off, God said to me, I mean, spoke to me with a lot of clarity, was, if you can't even do this for me, how am I to use you in a bigger way? And so from that point on, he has moved me to do things like give somebody $50. And you guys have probably played this in your mind. Well, what if they're going to use it for this? Or what if you're going to use it for that? And God clearly spoke to me in that time to go, the obedience is for you, not for what they're going to do with it. It is, are you going to be obedient to me? And so in that, if the Holy Spirit is moving you, just start taking those small steps because you will never, ever regret it. So I had just said, Lord, please help me see what my current and future teams will need from me. Please give me the humility, wisdom, knowledge, compassion, grace, and love to serve them in a way that fully shows them your love and power. Please help me model humble serving and sacrifice to my family, my friends, my church, my youth group, and my world. So I just ask you if you pray for me and for my family, because this will be hard for them, but it's so amazing. God has had my sister-in-law and brother-in-law move in with us. He's opened so many doors and avenues that I could be able to go and do this. So I know it's where he wants me to go, and so just keep me in prayer that I will always be listening to his calling, and I will be obedient in that, because sometimes we all face things we start to question, and if you could always keep me lifted up in prayer, that would be really good.
Let's pray for Mary Jean right now. God, you do call us out of comfort. You do call us higher and deeper. And I pray, God, that as Mary Jean has heard that call and as you have, you've grown her, you've matured her, you have taught her to trust you, I pray that she would, even in this difficult situation, it sounds like you've already given her that trust. You've already laid the groundwork, and so we pray for her strength as she continues to move forward. We pray for the people in Florida right now who are suffering, who are hurting, who are displaced, and we pray that the church would be mobilized, that Mary Jean would just be one of thousands and thousands of disciples of Jesus who are hearing your voice and who are going and doing more than just rebuilding roads and schools and providing water, but declaring the kingdom of God, declaring to people that they are loved, introducing people to Jesus Christ by being the body of Christ on the ground. God, we thank you that you give us that opportunity, and we pray that we would take it. God, we pray that we would take it, not to pat ourselves on the back, but to honor and glorify you, and I know that's what Mary Jean wants to do. So we pray that that path would be set for her family, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, yeah.
Thank you.
Anybody else on some crazy adventure that God is? I'm not asking for hands here. This is what we should expect, though, from a life of discipleship, from a life of faith. We should expect opportunities to arise that only God could put in front of us. And the challenge to us is going to be, are our hearts in the place where we can say yes, where we can step out, where we can move forward with him? And I know a bunch of people in this room are doing that kind of thing, and that's amazing. I love it. I love it. We're going through the Beatitudes right now, a word that really just means the blessings. And Jesus starts a sermon in the book of Matthew where he talks about the condition in which God blesses people. And it's contrary to what a lot of folks thought at that time. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the humble. And we've caught up to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, where he says, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. So I want to break this down a little bit and see what it has to do with us. What does it mean in the context during the time Jesus said it, and how do we apply it today? What does it have to do with us? How to hunger and thirst for justice. And first of all, I want to break down this idea of hunger and thirst. Mary Jean is she's going potentially, if all these things work out, headed down to Florida. Some of the footage that I saw of some of the devastation of the hurricane is you've got all this water around, and yet because of the way it happened, it's not water that you can drink. So there are people literally surrounded by water who are thirsting, who are suffering because of lack of clean water. If you give in to the temptation to satisfy your thirst through dirty water or through salty water or through diseased water, what you're likely to do, ironically, is actually die of dehydration, because your body is going to process things in a way that it puts out more water than it's taking in, and you're surrounded by water, and you could potentially die of thirst. We don't really know thirst all that much. We've been so sheltered from that kind of situation. We don't live in a desert. We don't, we don't live where there's hurricanes. We don't really know thirst. The people who Jesus talked to, they knew thirst. They didn't have running water. They couldn't just turn on a faucet and get water. If there were times of drought, people just didn't drink. There just wasn't anything. They knew hunger. If there was a time of drought, or if there was a time where crops were diseased, or where there were locusts, or there were so many different things that could happen where your food supply would be decimated and you would just be hungry. We don't know that hunger. We don't know what it's like to go for days without drinking, to go for days without eating. But the people that Jesus was talking to when he said this, they would have known that. When he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, immediately that would have brought back a time in someone's life when they had actually felt real hunger, when they had actually felt real thirst. And it would have been strange to them to hear this teacher say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Like, what? Hunger and thirst, that's a curse. And he continues, though, but those who hunger and thirst for justice. Justice is how the New Living Translation translates this Greek word. If you have one of those Bibles, though, you'll see an asterisk next to the word. And if you go to the bottom, it says, or righteousness. This Greek word, then you can see it in your program. The Greek word that's translated there is, and oh man, I practiced this over and over again, and I knew I was just going to, I was going to have to sound it out. Dikaiosune. Dikaiosune, and I'm not a scholar here. I use the same resources that you guys would have to use. This Greek word, dikaiosune, it means justice or righteousness. So I read this, and if we were to just take it for what it is, we might read this and go, okay, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice or for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. I think that sounds like something that I could read in a comic book, right? Somebody who hungers and I have a hunger for justice. You know, right? I'm sorry. This is the part where you're supposed to, like, we're lightening it up a little bit. I think about like the Justice League, and I think about, you know, Wonder Woman and Superman and Batman. I have a hunger for justice, and it will be satisfied. But this is not what Jesus is talking about here. See, we read that and think, I hunger and thirst for justice. And maybe some of us can say, yes, I do. I have a hunger and a thirst for justice. And what we're thinking about is justice around us. I don't like to see injustice. I don't like to see people who are in situations where they're being treated unfairly. I don't like to see unrighteous people prosper. I have a hunger and a thirst for justice around me. If we, though, look ahead a little bit in the book of Matthew, just to the next chapter, but it's still the same sermon that Jesus is preaching. It's the same conversation that he's having. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he's telling people, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about these things. He says, instead, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. Dikaiosune. Same word. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. If you think about it, this sounds kind of like a restatement of that blessing. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice or for righteousness. They will be satisfied. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. It's almost like a restatement of the concept. But what this teaches us about a hunger and a thirst for righteousness is that it's not talking about a righteousness and a justice for things that are around you. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek his righteousness, not for other people, but for you. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for justice, not around them, but inside them. This is the challenge for us. Like, when's the last time you were sitting around and you thought, oh, if I could just be more righteous. Oh, if I could just treat people more fairly. Oh, if I could just have a better relationship with God. That's the kind of hunger and thirst that he's talking about. To have an ache inside of you to be better. To be justified in the sight of a holy God. To hunger for that. It's actually kind of encouraging that that Jesus says, God blesses those who hunger for this. Because he's not saying God blesses those who have achieved it. God blesses those who are in process. And he will satisfy that hunger and that thirst. When I think about that hunger and thirst, I think about why would we not hunger and thirst for that? And it's kind of the same reason. You know, our bodies hunger and thirst for nutritious food. Our body thirsts for water. I know people who, like, they just don't drink water. They're like, I can't stand water. Like, wait a minute, that's kind of a basic thing. But they get their water in other forms. You know, Diet Coke is the form that some people get their water from diet. They just can't do the fresh, pure water. We know that our body hungers because there's a need, and the need is for nutrition. And yet sometimes nutrition isn't our favorite thing. I remember being at the grocery store and getting a text from one of my kids saying, hey, can you pick up some food for breakfast? And I said, okay, well, what do you have in mind? And this, I'm not even going to say, I don't want to put anybody on the spot. If it was the son or daughter, one of my kids texted back and said, I don't know, junk food? And it's just such an honest answer. Because although our bodies are hungry for what nourishes us often isn't the best tasting, it's not the most convenient, It takes some time, it takes some effort, it takes some energy, and it's tough to commit yourself to that when you can just grab something that's packaged and that tastes sweet, right? However, we know that you can grab that packaged sweet thing and you can eat over and over and over that packaged sweet thing and never get what your body is actually hungering for. This is the situation that we get in when God has designed us to hunger and thirst for justice and righteousness. He has designed us He created us in His image. We're to operate as He operates. When we're out of balance with Him, when we're out of balance with righteousness, we're to have a hunger to get back into balance. I'm afraid what we do, though, is we find junk food, so to speak, to satisfy that hunger temporarily. Christmas is coming up. I was in Menards just a couple days ago, and they're putting out their Christmas stuff. It's September! They're putting out their Christmas stuff. Christmas is coming up, so it's time to start thinking about what do I want, right? That's what Christmas is about. What do I want? I should start making a list of what I want, and if I get what I want, then I'll be happy. For fourth and fifth graders in here, they have a worksheet that they grab on their way in. Honestly, I think anybody could benefit from grabbing the Club 45 worksheet. It has like questions on there to think about. And one of the exercise that I have on there today for the fourth and fifth graders is to like make a list of things that you think will make you happy. And then think about how long do you think it will make you happy? What about you? Do you remember what you got for Christmas last year? The thing that was supposed to make you happy? And what the world is going to tell us is make a Christmas list. And when you get those things, that will make you happy. Until it's time for them to advertise Valentine's Day, which is just a couple weeks after Christmas, is when we're going to start being inundated. Well, first of all, it's fitness season. You need to eat more. And then it's immediately, you need to exercise more. And then, if you exercise more, then you'll be happy. But you know what? Valentine's Day is coming, so you probably need some more candy. And by the way, you need to be in a relationship. And if you were in a relationship, then you would be happy. And then Easter comes. And, of course, that's when we celebrate bunnies who lay eggs and paint them and hide them from children. Like, what is the world telling us about what's going on? How do we get so twisted up in these things? And then it's summertime, and it's time where if you just got out every weekend, if you got a boat, then you'd be happy, right? If you just got a boat, if you just got out, all these things that the world tells us, you hunger and thirst for something, fill it with this, fill it with all these things. And then we end up going, well, but okay, that was supposed to make, why am I now feeling empty again? This mathematician and philosopher Blaise Pascal said there is a God-shaped vacuum inside each of us. A God-shaped vacuum. And that's why life sucks so much without him. Come on, that's supposed... You guys, I try so hard. A God-shaped vacuum. A space inside of us that only He can fill, and yet we try to cram so many other things into it. What is the junk food that you've been cramming into your life that you can cut out and let that insecurity be there, that hunger be there? I mean, honestly, we tend to hunger more for a Packers win than we hunger for our lives to be lived in step with God's plan for us. We can do better. You know, I got too much stuff here. I'm going to skip a bunch of it. In fact, I'm going to land the plane right here. We can read in Scripture about how righteousness comes, and it comes through Jesus Christ. Thank God that when Jesus talks about hungering and thirsting for righteousness and how we will be satisfied, it doesn't mean you hunger and thirst and then you work hard at it. And you've got to work at it in order to achieve righteousness. The good news is that if any of us could do that, then we could boast. Then we would become self-righteous. The good news is that's not what God has called us to. He does not call us to self-righteousness. He calls us to humility. He calls us to admit, yes, I want righteousness for myself. I want to be reconciled to God. And yet the things that I want to do, I don't do them. And the things that I know I'm supposed to do, or I'm not supposed to do, those are the things that I end up doing. I'm such a mess. Who's going to help me? I'm just restating what Paul said. Who's going to help me? Thank God for Jesus Christ who saves me from that. He became sin on the cross so that we could have his righteousness cover us. Now, that doesn't excuse us. That doesn't mean we don't try to live with justice and righteousness. It just means that the hunger and thirst we have isn't born out of desperation for salvation, because we've already been given that. The righteousness and the justice that we hunger for is out of gratitude because he has showed us such love. He died in our place, so that we could be seen in God's eyes as righteous. Now, live it out. And the challenge for us is to look at what's getting in the way of us hungering for God's righteousness in our life. What are the things that we are cramming in there? Identify those things that you have. For me recently, it was late night television. I had to say, this is junk food. And I came to that conclusion because I was reading some things in Scripture, and it talked about honoring. I'm going to get personal here for a second. It talked about honoring people that God has put in positions of authority. And then I taught last week about mockers, and how I tend to be a person who is a mocker, someone who doesn't mind making fun of other people. And so this late night television became junk food for me, because here are people who are making fun of people who I am called by God to pray for and to honor, whether I agree with them or not. And instead of praying for and honoring people, even people I disagree with, and not slandering them, I'm eating junk food. And I had to say, that's got to stop. And I've got to get that right in my heart. That doesn't mean I can't laugh and have fun and try. God will help us identify those things that are keeping us off track and out of balance in terms of righteousness and justice in our own hearts. And he, as we hunger for him, will satisfy that hunger like nothing else can, like true, pure, clean water, like real nutrition. We just got to get it from him. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your promises, your promise that as we hunger and thirst for justice and righteousness, that you promise we will be satisfied. God, give us real nourishment. Help us to identify the junk food in our lives and to cut it out and to enjoy pure living water from you. Pure nourishment from your word and from fellowship with others. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.